This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
Hey, happy race day. What a huge race weekend it is at 8:06. You know, at the end of the year, a lot of the tracks up north aren't raced anymore. We still got a lot going on down here from the dirt tracks of Phoenix City. We'll talk about that to, of course, the All-American 400. Half of everyone I know is up going towards Nashville. Lots to cover. Thank you to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flags Speedway, Mobile Regional Airport, and Sunny South Raceway. Tim Bryant standing by from Five Flags and MIS, and he's in Nashville for the big race, the last super race of the year, and this is going to be big. We'll talk to him in just a minute. Got a local dirt driver, Hunter Milligan. Now, he's just getting started. He's been running for about 3 years, 2 years in the Stingers on the dirt over in Flemington, won a championship, and his rookie year in a bomber. He just placed third. We're going to talk with him, and he's actually driving up to go check out the action at Phoenix City. He's up there. We'll have him talk a little bit about the cars, and if you're not familiar with that, you need to just Google Phoenix City. This is like the Snowball Derby of dirt. And we'll hit the Snowball Derby with Brian also. Matt Weaver with Popular Speed and SB Nation going to be on in Nashville. Again, give us all the details, what's happening, some of the high speeds, and over, I think, 45 cars, if I'm not mistaken. That's huge. And then we go to Texas NASCAR with Dustin Long and MRN. Carl Edwards has grabbed his 13th pole now at Texas, the AAA Texas 500. You've got Keselowski, Johnson, and Menard in that mix. So that's your top four. But first of all, I want to bring in Tim Bryant. He's live in Nashville, been checking out the scene. Snowball Derby weather, a little chilly there this morning, huh, Tim?
It's great racing weather, Kane. It is going to be a good race tonight, and certainly kind of kicks off the month of some intense end of the season action.
Oh, yeah, and that's everything from the racetrack and then everyone preparing, too, because they're keeping a track on the Facebook, and some of these drivers have been letting it slip that they've been testing over there at Five Flags. Probably got a lot of private testing going on. But before we get started, there was just terrible news last weekend. We got all these texts. You saw it on Facebook that Ricky Brooks, who's known for being a very fair and very tough tech man, was actually struck by a race car and was hurt pretty severely, and you've got a latest update on Ricky. Can you give us how he's doing and what the latest is?
Well, I sure can, and I'm glad to report that Ricky is now home in Pensacola. Of course, last Saturday night it was the Governor's Cup 200 at New Smyrna Speedway. He was doing his job, you know, during the race. There actually was some reports of some fluid on the track, so the caution was out, and the officials were out looking at the racing surface, and a driver who had made a pit stop was kind of scrubbing his tires in, and as probably some of the best drivers have done, it got away from him. But when you put new tires on right out of the gate, they're very slippery, so he was trying to get some grip in them, and actually lost control of the car in the wrong place at the wrong time, and struck Ricky. It hit him in the with the front of the car, kind of flipped him through the air. Thank goodness it wasn't any worse, but he did suffer a badly broken leg, so he's spent most of this week in Halifax Hospital. But as I say, he is home. His recovery is going to take some time before he's back on his feet 100%, but you know what? He's still going to be the tech man at the Snowball Derby in December. I promise you that, if we have to run the tech line through his living room.
and we talk about that. Ricky, and he is the kind of person, I mean, he'll be there in a wheelchair, gladly, and he'll be doing his job. And so it's funny, what did they say yesterday at the driver's meeting up there in Nashville? We talked about that off the air.
Yeah, one of the first things they said here at the All-American 400, just, of course, they gave an update on Ricky's condition, because all the racers have a ton of respect for him and have concerns about his condition. But they gave a report, and they said, by the way, if you think you can get away with anything in his absence, forget it. You won't be able to. He's trained his guys really well, and, of course, Eddie Chu from the Champion Racing Association out of Indiana has kind of moved into the head tech role, and several of our tech officials from the Gulf Coast area are up here working. So doing the best we can in his absence. Of course, he's missed here, but we'll have him at the snowball. We'll be rolling him around, or he'll be on a golf cart or something, but he'll be there.
He'll have a fast scooter, just like Tony Stewart does. You know, he'll be zooming through the pits.
That's right.
Hey, you know, you've had some fast times up there, and I'm looking at the top of the charts from yesterday practice, and we'll talk about Mobile and Five Flags here in a minute, but since you're up there at the All-American 400, Preston Pelcher had a fast time, and you look at some of the other people. Look at Donnie Wilson, a local down here along the Gulf Coast from Oklahoma, has got second fastest. There's Chase Elliott, and you go down the names. of these guys. Your 45 drivers here, Spencer Davis. You've got Ross Kenseth, Bubba Pollard in the mix, Kyle Benjamin. Everyone that you're going to see pretty much at the Derby is up there this weekend. Is this somewhat of a shakedown for the Derby? Because two different tracks, but or is this just bragging rights and getting that last super season race series?
Well, I mean, I certainly wouldn't probably deem this as a shakedown. I mean, this is a traditional event on its own. Somebody's going to walk away from here tonight with a guitar after winning a 300-lap race against some of the best competition anywhere. It is a little bit of a prelude to the Derby, though, in terms of how everybody shakes out against each other. By the way, you mentioned Preston Peltier. He's on the fence about coming to the Snowball. He won the World Crown 300, you know, one of the other crown jewels of the Southern Super Series. So he's a great racer. Races mostly in the Pro All-Star Series in the Carolinas, but we may see him if he has a good run tonight. But you know what? Another important thing that's going to finally evolve tonight will be the crowning of the first ever Southern Super Series champion. Bubba Pollard sitting in the driver's seat, but our own Gulf Coast champion Daniel Hemric is not out of the hunt, but one of those guys is going to get their picture made in front of a $10,000 check tonight.
Wow, that is awesome. That's cool. And you know, they've really, you know, talking with the race fans, talking with race officials, talking with the media, everyone that's been involved with this, you know, and really, I tell you, one guy who really sings the praises of this series is Matt Weaver, who's up there at the All-American 400, and he'll be on here in a few minutes. Boy, he says this has been the best racing he's seen in a long time. This was a great idea.
Well, I tell you, it's been a real boost for super late model racing, and you know, some guys that actually were in other levels of racing are now looking for next year, and people are chomping at a bit for the Southern Super Series schedule, which is being worked on. Hopefully, we can release that by the Derby. But I bumped into Matt Weaver, our resident media expert along the Gulf Coast, and he's from coast to coast getting racing news. So, encourage folks to check out Matt today at SB Nation.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about our tracks down here. Obviously, a lot of people have been practicing. I saw Logan Boyette. I saw the number 6 bomber out there. Tracy Soles doing some practice and some shakedown and talking about tire wear on there. So they're putting it all out there on Facebook. But you're getting a lot of the local guys, and it's not hard, but you'll run out of time soon if you want to get private testing.
Yeah, actually, we have got some guys. They, you know, they didn't really want to get mixed up with the crowd of cars. I believe they'll show up on November 23rd. Oh, yeah. But I do want to remind folks of that. That's an important date, and that'll be an all day test session. So, short of spending any hard earned money on a private test date, November 23rd, Saturday. Gates open at 8:30. We'll start practicing at 9 o'clock in the morning and go all the way until 8 o'clock at night. That'll be the Snowball Derby preview.
And, of course, all the local drivers, you guys can still go ahead and put your entry in. What is the deadline for the cutoff on the rebate if you go ahead and sign up now before the Derby?
I think it's November 15th. Okay. We're trying to get everybody to go ahead and pre-enter so we can start some pre-race publicity. We're doing a little extra for our local divisions this year. And, of course, that'll make just getting in the gate easier on race day, of course. And also save a little bit of money by early entry.
Well, and you got to talk about Jegs again. These guys, you know, they've done so much for racing, and now they are a title sponsor for the Derby. It's and you know what? It looks good up there on that website. I think the Jegs with the Snowball Derby logo looks pretty darn good. You got to be happy about that partnership.
Jegs has done a lot for short track racing in recent years, and you know, they got involved with the Snowball Derby last year, sponsoring some lap money, and this year they came in a little heavier, allowed us to pad the purse a little bit more. So we're glad to have them on board. They're great people.
Well, and Kane, now switch gears to Mobile, and I know you're ready to go. You've got so much to do, but we have so much to still cover. We got to salute our champions in 2013. Mobile had great racing all year long, and that's coming up November 16th.
Yeah, we're our salute to the champions banquet. It'll be at the Speedway Party Barn. Looking forward to having that, and you know, passing out some checks to guys maybe they can use for the Snowball Derby if they need to, or hopefully they can kind of put it away and use it for 2014. We are working on the 2014 schedule for both Pensacola and Mobile. Of course, March 22nd, it all starts with the ARCA Mobile 200, as we know. So, I tell you, there's just no time to kill. We're already trying to finish this year, but looking forward to next year as well.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you've got a lot to go to do today in Nashville. We, again, thank you for the report with Ricky Brooks. But real quick, I want to see, do you have, as a track promoter, as a race fan, as a former driver, you know, you've watched these Super Series guys, you've been to all the tracks here and you've seen the races. Who do you think's got a good car for tonight or for this weekend? I mean, who do you think's going to be the standout driver for this race?
Well, you know what? You go down the list, and it's just so hard to pick a winner, very much like the snowball, because every guy is a contender. Of course, Chase Elliott always comes to the top of the list, but Augie Grill runs really, really good here. Just came off a win in last Saturday night's Governor's Cup 200 at New Smyrna, so he's got some momentum. And Bubba Pollard, although he's run good this year, looks to clinch the Southern Super Series title tonight. He wants to win. Bubba races to win. He's not that much of a points racer. He takes what he gets as far as points, but he likes to race or likes to win every race he's in. So, the list goes on. Eric Jones, last year's Snowball Derby winner, of course, is here in Kyle Busch Motorsports entry. He's going to be a contender. So it's anybody's guess. And for folks that want to watch the action play-by-play, remind them about speed51.com.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, those guys will be down at the Derby again this year, too.
Absolutely. Already kicked the Derby promotion into high gear, running stories and gathering information. It's going to be really interesting. It's great that they are able to keep people abreast of what's going on, in folks' absence. Obviously, we all like to be at every race, and we can't do it. I spent last Saturday night online, catching up with the action from New Smyrna. Yeah. So, it's a nice amenity for racing.
Well, Tim, we appreciate the great updates and the information, and we'll look forward to having you on next weekend as we get closer to those practice dates and all the celebrations of the champions for both Mobile and Five Flags. So thank you again, and have a great time this weekend.
Well, thanks, Kane, for all you do for Gulf Coast Racing and for spreading the word. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Just a last-minute reminder, two things. The drifting crowd can do some sliding next Saturday night at Five Flags Speedway, and we want to encourage folks to RSVP at the Mobile Speedway telephone number for the banquet on the 16th.
All right, there you go. And you can find that at mobilespeedway.net. That's Tim Bryan. And coming up next, well, we'll be right back with local dirt driver Hunter Milligan. Check this out. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org. That's United States Fire Department Racing. Again, they're out of Kannapolis. Glad that Kane Motorsports is a big part of them. And we raise money and awareness for a lot of the volunteer fire departments. We do a lot of community events, take the race car out and stuff like that. So we appreciate that. Matt Weaver standing by with Popular Speed and SB Nation in Nashville, the All-American 400. Dustin Long live in Texas with MRN. He's got information about Carl Edwards and some of the other stories behind NASCAR. But, I like to bring on these local drivers, and we've got one that's really put a name out for himself already. In just 3 short years of racing, 2 years in the Stinger and Dirt over in Flemington, we got Hunter Milligan on the air with us, and Hunter's already a champion, so you got to love that. Hunter, you were just saying off the air, man, we went to Phoenix City. We're still up here. This has been some of the best racing you've seen all year long. That good, huh?
Yes, sir. We went to the Snowball last year. Yeah. We wanted to go up to the ticket last night at Phoenix City and give them more money.
Wow, man. Well, now let's talk about Phoenix City. Now, you race at Flemington real quick. We'll tell you about your 3 years. You started 2 years in Stingers. What kind of Stinger did you drive? Was it a Saturn?
I had a Saturn, 98 Saturn.
There you go. That's the standard. Boy, those are getting hard to find because it seems like everybody, it should be called the Saturn class.
it should.
You know, and now tell us, once you got done, you second year, I believe you won your championship. Tell us about your championship year running that Stinger.
Yeah, the second year, we made our mind up the first year that we wanted to win the championship. Yeah. And it was a long, hard battle all year long.
How close was it?
It was the last half of the season. It was a 3-5 point lead, and then the last night I went in 8 points behind.
Wow.
And Joe Kittrell was leading the last night. He broke, which I would have rather us race it out to the end, but it was a hard fought season.
What a way to win a championship, man. Last lap, last corner, essentially, man, that's what you dream about.
Yep.
Gosh, yep. And I saw that trophy because you had your car out just a couple of weeks ago in Pensacola at the fair. You brought it, and you had some other race cars around you, some other older cars as well, but they had a little section over there at the fair, which that's the first time I've been to the fair over there in Five Flags, but at Pensacola. And, man, I tell you what, your car looked good out there, and you had a ton of kids getting in it, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did. We, We tried to put every kid in it to come out there. I thought the car looked pretty good until I put it in the car show, and you got all them nice cars over there, and ours is beat up.
No, yours is a race car, and that's what I say. When we take ours out, oh, yeah, that dent come from here. And no, the kids love that. They love to touch the ripples in the car, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've had a good year also this year as you started off. Again, Flemington, is that the one track you really race at?
Yes, sir. That's the only one I raced at. At the end of the year, after Flemington season, went over and ran Baker at Northwest Florida a couple of times.
What do you think of that track?
That's a pretty cool little track. It's once you figure it out, it's definitely a pretty cool little track.
Well, let me ask you, the Stingers, that class seems to be big at almost every track. You know, you've got Deep South Speedway here in Loxley, the big monster that they've got over there, and you'll have 7, 8 of those cars. Even over at Sunny South Raceway, which is a bull ring, pretty much like Flemington's a bull ring, but yours is dirt and that's asphalt, and they'll have anywhere from 6 to 8 cars. But you guys had some great car counts this year, also in the bomber class. Now, tell us about how you ran this year, and again, for your rookie season to get third, that's pretty strong.
Yes, sir, this year we started out a week before season with a house fire.
Wow.
And the first month and a half of the season, we was having to live somewhere else, and had a couple of people that had power that, you know, helped us. And
wow,
we started off running the back of the field. We didn't want to be like the, you know, most rookies. They get up front on the pole and then take out half the field. So
yep. We
just started. We started in the rear, and when I finally got the first dent on it, they just said, "Open it up. Let's go."
Yeah, that's right. What was that? Lap 2 or lap 3, brother? On dirt, I know how it is.
Yeah.
What are you guys running? What kind of car? What kind of bomber do you guys have?
We got a Malibu. It's Kevin Mitchell's old Malibu. Mm-hmm. He had.
Oh, and that was a fast car.
Yes, sir. It was. And We got another one that we don't put together to run other tracks and travel some next year.
So we might see you over here at Loxley or wherever else, even some other the tracks.
Yes, sir. We planning on making an appearance over at Loxley one time. And
You'll love it. You'll be hooked. I'm telling you, that track is a monster. The speed that you're going to get, make sure you gear it right. You see a lot of cars are losing that. Ooh, there's another one out of turn two.
We talked about maybe trying to go over in Mississippi and run a race or two and just travel a little bit.
And that's part of the fun. That's what I like doing with our bomber too on the asphalt. There's so many places for us to play, you know, play around, essentially. 3 or 4 tracks in this area. And, boy, that's what's so great about the Gulf Coast. I mean, whether you race in drag strip, whether you've got a go-kart, whether you've got any kind of car, there's several tracks around here, and you just don't find that all over the country anymore.
No, sir. Well, I got a 3-year-old boy, and we don't put him in a go-kart.
Yeah, there's some exciting news coming at Sunny South Raceway soon. Can't let the cat out of the bag, but you might want to be listening. Just it might be a good thing for that little guy. Let me ask you also now, you talking about this is a huge race weekend for dirt. Phoenix City is the Snowball Derby at the end of the year. Tell us about this track, what it's like, and what kind of racing you saw in the classes and divisions. From what I understand, the late models were incredible.
The late models was incredible. It was 3 wide, Scott Blomquist, Steve Francis, and one other driver, and Chris Madden come from the rear, and spanked Steve Francis and Blomquist on the high side.
Really? The high side?
The high side. That's where it is. If you can hang your wheel off the top, or, you know, right there on the edge, you hook up pretty good.
Man, now we got another local driver, Ricky Haugen, that's up there, and he's participating. And I know you're talking about going to race next year up there. Do they have the bomber class? I mean, what classes are you going to see up there at Phoenix City? Pretty much everything that runs on dirt, I imagine.
Yeah, they got like 5 different classes of the late models. There's Sportsman and Super Street, Crate Late Model, Super Late Model, and then they had a little 4-cylinder class. It's a lot different than ours. They look just like late models.
Wow.
But they had, I think, 5 heat races of 10 cars in it.
Man.
So their heat races up here is about like our features.
Wow.
That's incredible. It's crazy.
Well, that's good racing, and it continues tonight. Again, a local driver, Ricky Haugen, we talked about up there. He's running up there. We wish him good luck. Who's some of the other drivers you know that are participating? You know any of the other local drivers up there?
Taylor Jarvis. He won. He had a big win last night.
Good.
Probably half a straightaway lead on him. And Jesse Smith. Mm-hmm. Jesse Smith out of Shemuckla. He ran second last night.
And that kind of field of car, that's pretty strong. You know what?
Yes, he won the state race up there last time.
Yeah. Well, Hunter, let me ask you. I know we've got about another minute and a half or so here. I want to ask you about your racing. So you're going to do two bombers. You're going to have one. Obviously, you're going to go for the championship at Flemington, but also travel. That's going to be hard to do with a Flemington schedule as much as a race. But let me ask you, who's helping you? Do you have sponsors? And I tell you, you can look them up. Look up Hunter Milligan up on Facebook. Hunt them up and obviously get some sponsorship help there because the car looks great and you're doing great.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'd like to thank my daddy. He's a big help, and if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to do it. And I got Butler Youfoot out of Pensacola.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Yeah, Butler Youfoot, they've been real great to us. Alpha Bonding out of Baymanette, Jalisco's Mexican Restaurant, and David's Catfish.
Oh, see, you got to trade out on that catfish? Is that how that works out? You and the team goes in there?
Yeah, and I can't forget my mama, my sister, and my wife and two boys. They're there every weekend.
That's important, too, isn't it? You know, as a driver, you know, we're not getting rich off this. We're spending family money, even sponsorship money. So it really is. It really does take a very supporting family. I think I've noticed that on my side with my wife and my family, even the grandparents. They're all about it. So I think without that support, it would be very difficult to have a winning team like you do.
Yes, sir, it would. It really would. We was unfortunate, didn't pick up a feature win this year, but we still got one more race, the Thanksgiving race.
Yeah.
I'm going out trying to get that feature win.
Well, when you do, you make sure to come back on the show, okay, Hunter?
All right, I will.
Man, we appreciate the updates up there in Phoenix City. You guys need to Google the track, check it out. Also, you can go to FlemingtonSpeedway.com and on Facebook, hunt up Hunter Milligan. And I tell you what, if you want to spend some money on some tires, this boy's going to be able to put that car up in the victory lane. I'm going to put my money on him for that Thanksgiving race. Hunter, man, you have a great time up there this weekend, all right?
All right. Hey, y'all can look us up at Milligan Motorsports on Facebook.
There you go.
I appreciate it, Kane.
Oh, no problem. Milligan Motorsports right there on Facebook. We got you covered, Hunter. It's going to be good stuff. I love having the local guys on, getting a flavor of what they're going through this year. Now coming up, shifted gears back up to Nashville. This is going to be great, man. What a huge race weekend. Popular Speeds and SB Nation Matt Weaver standing by the All-American 400. He's got a bunch of stuff to tell us about coming up next. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5 and try to get a hold of Matt Weaver, and I think he's got the beauty sleep going on. Still not up, so we'll head to Nashville in the All-American 400 just a little bit later. So much more going on. Did you see who won the truck race last night? That number three. You remember last weekend there was some bumping and grinding going on after the race with that truck? Well, let's talk to Dustin Long, actually heading to the track in Texas with MRN. And Dustin, thank you for coming on a few minutes early. And as you're heading to the track, the truck race last night, boy, I tell you what, Dylan had no problem keeping up front. I mean, and that truck looked good all night long.
No, Ty Dillon certainly had the dominant truck last night, and leading 130 of the 147 laps. And really, there was never really any doubt with him. It was really interesting. At one point, was it about 30 laps from the finish, he passed Ryan Blaney for the lead, and Blaney gets on the radio and just goes, "Man, that thing is just unbelievably fast." And it was evident from early on that this was going to be Ty Dillon's race to lose. And for the kid, it's certainly been a heck of a week. I mean, you know, last week at Martinsville, he's running in third, trying to get by Kevin Harvick for second. He's running in the back of him, and they both wreck, and then that creates all the controversy after the caution where Harvick retaliates by hitting the side of his truck, and then Dylan chases him down, trying to wreck him, and he's got Richard Childress, his grandfather, Harvick's boss on the Cup side, telling him to go turn to Harvick. And
it's not how he said it.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to clean it up for you. So, but I mean, you know, you go through that, and Ty said, look, there's been a lot that's happened this week, and it's, you know, there was a lot inside me, and I let it out tonight, and, you know, he did. It was a really strong performance.
Are there any more fallouts between him and Harvick? What happened this week? What else was said?
Well, you know, Austin Dillon said, you know, I remember it was the Harvick saying, you know, he's saying that it was the Dillon boys.
Yep.
He called them a couple names and said, you know, they were kind of the reason he was, one of the reasons he was leaving RCR after the season for Stewart Haas Racing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Austin Dillon had an interview on Sirius XM NASCAR radio on Wednesday and really kind of, you know, gave what his thoughts and feelings of all that was, you know, were. And Harvick, after hearing or seeing that, Harvick got in touch with Dillon and said, hey, let's meet at the track. So they met Friday morning and talked, and Austin said that Harvick apologized to him. So when I went to ask Harvick about it, he wouldn't talk. He declined to answer the comment.
Oh, really?
Austin says they've moved on from that now.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. As we move forward, how about Edwards now? Captures the pole, fast time, his 13th pole. He needs something. I mean, obviously, they haven't had the season that they've had in the past couple seasons. They've struggled, it seems.
Yeah, and Texas is a good remedy for him. The winningest Cup driver here with 3 wins, starting on the pole. The last 2 pole winners have gone on and won the race here at Texas. It's not the season that they've wanted. You know, what they now have to do is look at these final 3 races and say, how do we build momentum for next year? And going out and winning races and running well. So, you know, they've been good at this track before, so this is, in one sense, isn't surprising, even though they've had their struggles this year. So, you know, I think they can have a good run. We'll see what happens. Go from there.
Well, good news about Truex, but not only is he hired for, I guess, a multi-year contract with Furniture Row, but they're also picking up his pit crew. Can you tell me a little bit about that deal and what happened?
Yeah, certainly. Obviously, Martin Truex Jr. looking for work after all the things that happened at Michael Waltrip Racing. Really, Furniture Row Racing was about his only choice if he didn't have sponsorship, because it was going to be tough for any team to add a car at this late in the of the game for next season. So he signs. You know, there was some question if it would be a 1-year deal so he could get out after, you know, the next year, and then that would be Furniture Row having to find another driver. He said it's a multi-year deal, and he gets the pit crew. His pit crew will come over, is what they said. And certainly, you know, as your listeners are aware, I mean, you know, with Kurt Busch and Furniture Row, that's been the weak point.
Yeah.
One of the weak points for that team this year has been the pit crew. Is Kurt will come in and, you know, in a position and exit pit road 2 positions behind, or lose, he'll just lose spots on pit road. So, you know, that's something that they've got to fix, and we'll see if this is part of the solution and can help them run better, even better next year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what other stories? Obviously, with Gordon's win last weekend, what does he really have to do? I mean, there were stories out there this week on the web and also on some of the news channels saying, oh, he's back in the chaser. But, he would have to have a lot of things happen just his way, wouldn't he? How close is he to be able to become another champion?
He's going to need help. Bottom line is he's going to have Johnson and Kenseth have problems. Because, even if Jeff won the last 3 races, if Johnson finishes, top 5,
mm-hmm.
he would still finish ahead of Gordon. So, I mean, he's got to have, those guys have problems, and he's got to run well and not have any issues. He has one hiccup, you know, forget about it. He's done. And it's the same with Harvick and Kyle Busch, and they have a little bit less room margin for error. So, you know, unless something happens, this is a 2-man race for the championship.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to look at it. What other stories have you been working on MRN to just kind of, get you ready near as you're getting closer and closer to Homestead? What's sticking out in your mind?
Well, I mean, I just think this is an interesting weekend, and it's something I wrote about earlier on our website. This is an interesting weekend. You know, you look at last weekend, everybody expected Jimmy Johnson to win at Martinsville because he's so strong there, and to really gain a lot of points and really kind of build his lead on Matt Kenseth, and that didn't happen. So, you know, Kenseth, in a way, kind of comes into Texas with momentum because he's in a better position than everybody thought, with being, tie for the points and actually be the points leader based on the tiebreaker. So now you come to Texas, a mile and a half, where, Kansas has scored 4 of his 7 wins this season on mile and a half tracks, and Johnson has yet to win. So now the expectation is, Kansas is going to build his lead. So will that happen? Will Johnson finish ahead of him, take the points lead? I mean, I think it's just this interesting game of back and forth between these two guys, and I just think it's going to be a fascinating weekend. It was interesting how they even approached yesterday.
Yeah.
Johnson spent his entire practice in qualifying trim, and Kenseth, they did a couple of race runs, and then didn't go, and then went into qualifying trim. So, kind of different philosophies and trying some different ideas.
What do you have to do to survive Texas? I mean, it's a long race. Are you going to look? Is it going to be engine problems? Is it going to be fatigue or what?
Certainly engine issues will crop up and probably bite some people. You're talking about the last 500 mile race of the season.
Yeah.
But with this old pavement, drivers talk about just how the grip goes away and really handling is the key, and you really got to work that car after about the way the tire drops off after about the 10th lap on a run. So really. Really watch how guys may be strong on a short run, but really watch what happens on a long run, after they get about 10, 12, 15 laps in. Who's moving up, who's falling back, because that's going to be the key.
Yeah, well, that's true. How can we keep track of you at the track? I know you've got so much going on, and as we approach, do you think, Kenseth, before we let you go, one more question, and obviously you've still got several races left, but is this Kenseth year? I mean, who really? Do you have a gut feeling?
Well, I said before the chase that Kenseth was going to win this championship, so I'll still go with him. But for this weekend, I'm picking Jimmy Johnson to win.
Oh. Now, why Johnson?
I just think that, like I said, Kenseth has kind of gained an upper hand with running well at Martinsville, tying Johnson in the points, and, a lot of people expected Johnson's team to kind of pull further ahead. So now I think people don't expect as much out of Johnson's team, and they do that. That group does really well when their backs against the wall and people doubt them. And I just think this will be a Johnson weekend. But I still think at the end, Kenseth is going to win this championship.
Well, I would love to see that. Some people, and I've heard him say in interviews that some people have discounted his championship because of the way he won it, and now he'll be able to say, well, how did the old style have it this style? And, really quick, I think also, wasn't there some news in NASCAR about some possible changes to 2014 this week?
Well, I think that Brian France talked to it, but some of the stuff that he was saying was just stuff that they were kind of looking at. I mean, the expectation is you're going to see some rule changes for the cars next year. And obviously there's a test in Charlotte in December 9th where they're going to have a lot more teams there, and they're going to refine some of the changes that they're looking at for next season, make sure they work okay with about 20-some cars on the track.
Wow.
And if everything's okay, then teams will have the new rules shortly thereafter.
So they're not going to put another ugly wing on the back of that car, are they?
No, that's not going to happen.
That's good. Well, Dustin, how do we keep track of you at the track?
At MRN.com and also on Twitter at Dustin Long.
All right, Dustin, I know you've got a busy start to the day, so we appreciate it as always, and we look forward to having you back on the show soon.
All right, thanks. Sounds good.
You too. All right, there's Dustin Long with MRN. That's Motor Racing Network. You can find him at MRN.com. More to come. Hang on. back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, later today, we podcast it at usfdracing.org. So thank you to Tim Bride, Five Flag Speedway, and Mobile International Speedway. Remember, November 16th is the awards banquet out at the Race Barn, as they call it, out at MIS. So make sure to check that out. Also, thank you to local dirt driver Hunter Milligan. Again, he's already up in Phoenix City. Seeing some great dirt late model racing. Dustin Long covered it all from Texas and MRN. So his pick to win today, Jimmy Johnson. I'm sorry, this weekend. And then, of course, to win the championship, still feels like Matt's going to be the guy to do it. So we'll see. Now, our Matt Weaver, is also on the road. Where is he along the Gulf Coast? Or the worldwide, actually. He's on tour. And this time, that tour bus pulls in to Nashville. And, man, good morning, Matt. You've already seen some great racing. You find it, one of the coolest things I've ever seen you post on Facebook. I looked this morning. I see what are they throwing? What is that coming down from the ceiling? They're throwing cash. They're making it rain at the track. What's up with that, man?
Yeah, Kane, they've got, the coolest marketing promotion arm in short track racing. First of all, Fairground Speedway Nashville is one of the oldest tracks in America. Yes. And so it's got this story tradition, and they want the fans to come out and support it. And so to give back to the fans, what they do is they dump cash from the roof onto the grandstands. And it's like, it's a battle royale. Anyone who wants to grab you some ones or some tens, some twenties, and it was a circus.
That's awesome. I saw that. I'm like, that is so cool. I've never seen that at a track. Great promotion there. You look at the cars, 45 cars there, I believe, and I'm going through the list, and Tim Bryant touched on it a little bit. Preston Peltier, here he is. He's got fast time. This is a guy that's beating these teams that have got literally tons of money, budget, great equipment. He's a family guy. He's been running in the all pro?
The Pass Series,
that's it. And so, but he's been doing it with family and shoestring budget, so it's great to see him up on top.
Yeah, Preston Peltier, a lot of people don't realize this. He actually works full-time for Hendrick Motorsports. That's his day job. And so he's a pretty smart guy. And so when I talked to him after practice yesterday, he pretty much confirmed that, he can't go out and outspend, a Bubba Pollard or a Chase Elliott or, that type. But where he can beat the rest of the field is by outsmarting them. And he says he likes to be creative and find some, different kind of setups and make the car do what it's not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And it works for him. The Pro All-Star Series, there's two divisions, North and South. There's the Mid-Atlantic South region. That's where he's from. He's probably, you could argue, the top driver to ever come out of the Pass Series. And when he comes into the Southern Super Series or CRA Series, which are co-sanctioning this race this weekend, the All-American 400, he usually dominates. And, you just wonder what would happen if he were to come down south full-time. He's going to run the Derby this year in a Scott Hamke car.
Nice.
And he's going to be good. He's fastest in practice yesterday. Qualifying is this morning. And we're going to see where that shakes out. But there are a lot of good teams in this field today.
What is the track surface like there in Nashville compared to some of the tracks along the Gulf Coast?
It's much better than some of the places on the Gulf Coast just because it was paved somewhat recently. It was paved in the middle of the 95-96 season. So very smooth, very fast. It's kind of at that perfect stage now where it's got perfect grip, but it doesn't kill your tires. Yeah. It's a good little track.
Well, I look at the top a few drivers. We mentioned Preston, but how about Donnie Wilson second, and not too far off that fast time. And then right behind Donnie, there's someone who's always up top. It's Chase Elliott.
Well, Donnie Wilson loves Fairground Speedway Nashville. We've opened the Southern Super Series season at Nashville in April. He led some laps. But Donnie's had some terrible luck this year. I've seen him have so many fast cars, fast qualifying laps, and sometimes through his own means, sometimes through other people's, he typically gets caught up in an accident. And so he's trying to shake off, the bad vibes going into the All-American, going into the Snowball Derby. And, this is a guy who I think could do himself a huge favor today in qualifying by, getting out up front, try to stay away from all the crashes that's going to happen behind him. And if he can do that, he will be around at the finish, and he has a shot.
Well, I've seen there's, like I said, 45 drivers, and this is really almost a showcase of a very similar amount of the same drivers. You look at the Kyle Benjamins, you look at the Bubba Pollards, the Ross Kenseth, the John Hunter Nemechek. These guys, Casey Roddick, Spencer Davis, I can go on, just read the whole entire list. These guys will be at the Derby. So I know a lot of people that have traveled and made that trip from the Gulf Coast just this weekend. They've had chances to go to Texas. Nope. We'd rather go see the late model race. And I told Tim Bryant that you'd said this last weekend that you really think that this has been some of the best racing that you've seen in a long time, especially with the Super Series and the way they've put it all together and the way they've got the tracks. Because when it first came out, a lot of people weren't sure it would actually take flight.
Yeah, you know, this series is still a work in progress.
Yeah.
This was year one. And I think when they announced it in December at the Snowball Derby last year, you could say that it's either going to be really good or it's going to be really bad,
right,
and it's not going to work out. And fortunately for racing fans in the Deep South, boy, has it ever worked out. It has been a lot of fun. And, you know, you've got a great championship battle that people kind of forget about, too. You're coming down to the last race, and you've got Bubba Pollard and Daniel Hemric separated by 48 points. And this isn't like NASCAR 48 points.
Right.
You can get a maximum of 150 points per race. So Daniel's right there. And with a full field of 43 cars, anything can happen. And you've got some great NASCAR prospects like your Hemric, like your Nemechek, like Kyle Benjamin. And, you know, this series has invited the best in the world to come race at Mobile, Pensacola, Montgomery, Gresham, and Nashville. And, you know, we've got some people, you know, in the works that are trying to come in and invite more tracks. So you could see two more tracks.
Wow. Could
come
you imagine
in next year?
Well, and that's obviously going the right way. Now, those tracks, where do you think those would be? Would that be up more north?
Well, you know, we were talking to Tim Bryant yesterday. He's here in Nashville, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's told me that they've got calls from a good handful of tracks.
Wow.
He doesn't know how it's going to pan out yet, and he's got to work on the work on the details. But that's the great thing about this tour is I think you've seen other promoters look at the racing that these guys, Augie Grill, Preston Pelletier, and you know, Alan Carnes, and this whole bunch, and says, I want to bring this to my track.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks, you know, volumes about what the Southern Super Series has been able to accomplish in just, you know, 8 months.
Well, let me ask you, what do you see as, I mean, it's like the Derby. It's hard to pick a winner at this race. It really is. I mean, there are so many favorites, so many great cars, so many equal cars. How do you lean towards your pick?
Well, it's a big field. It's a big field, and it's a long race. And, you know, it is. The great thing about super late model racing in the Deep South right now is that you go to the racetrack and you can make an argument for 15 to 20 guys that have a realistic shot. But I did a story yesterday morning on SB Nation about the top four picks that I thought was going to win this race. And that is Eric Jones, the defending Snowball Derby champion, in the Kyle Busch Motorsports car.
Yeah, that's strong.
You got him, you got Chase Elliott, you got the two championship contenders, Pollard and Hemric. And I think that, you know, your winner's list is going to come out of those four guys, because you've got the two at the top who have been the best this year in Chase and Eric, and they battled for the win at Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Daniel and Bubba who are trying to race for this championship. So they have a lot on the line. They could be creative, take some chances, some strategy calls. And, you know, I think that could get them up front, too.
Well, I know Speed51.com will have the race on live, but if you can't wait until it starts, it's not hard to find Matt Weaver on Facebook. But where else can we keep track of you? Usually it's your Twitter account.
Yeah, Twitter is the best way. It's at Matt Weaver SBN, and you get everything that I cover, whether it's the NASCAR, super late model, dirt. I do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
F1, IndyCar. It all will appear on the SB Nation Twitter handle, Matt Weaver SBN. And, you know, come hang out, interact with me. I try to respond to everyone, and we have some fun on social media.
Let me ask you, where do you go next on the Weaver Tour?
You know, I think I'm going to take a little bit of a vacation.
Well,
you know, God
come back
bless
to the
me.
Gulf Coast. I know.
Right. I've got Homestead, Miami for NASCAR coming up.
Awesome.
And then, you know, my Daytona 500, the Snowball Derby, first weekend of December.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to shaking your hand and seeing you there at the track for sure. And Matt, you do such a great job on the show, and again, bring a lot of information to it. So we appreciate you teaming up with us this year.
Love being on the show, Kane.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a good time up there, and that'll do it. That's going to do it. Matt Weaver takes it and heads on into the track. And then thank you to Tim Bryan, also Hunter Milligan this morning, and, of course, Dustin Long with MRN. I got to thank Kane Motorsports. We will be at the Snowball Derby. Thank you to McDonald's and Bayside Insurance, Bay City Collision, and Dennis Aluminum and Foley. Also, Mobile Metro Glass, Performance Graphics, Falsac Tires, Auto Painter Supply, and we've got a couple of new sponsors coming up as well. So we thank everybody for helping us get the car ready. We're excited. We'll make that first practice and everything. Keep an eye out for that new number 5 Ford. God bless y'all. Have a good weekend.